Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Jeremiah 29:11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. And lastly, Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised in faith is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Good morning, everyone. So, for those of you who do not know me, my name is Rosalie Pareja, and I am the Director of Youth and Family Ministries here at Northwood Presbyterian Church. To start first, I just want to say how my heart is just overflowing with joy and gratitude for what we've already experienced this Sunday so far. We just got done with the reception we had after the 9 a.m. service, and the room was full, packed with families and people coming in and eating and seeing all the pictures of all the seniors, and it's exactly what I hoped it would be. And taking the pictures, all the moms with their cameras, taking pictures of the kids and whatnot. It was wonderful. In the first service, I was so proud of these kids as well. Their bells piece, the songs we sang and that we played up here and through the readings and everything. It was a beautiful service. So here we are now in the traditional service. And another thing you don't know about me probably is that I grew up in traditional service, so I'm happy to be here. This is wonderful. My home base is the 9 a.m., but here I am now today, so I'm happy to be with you today and bring you this message. So in the first service, I wrote this to the group of kids, to the graduates, to you guys. And so now I'm going to recap it in a different way and talk to you about my call to ministry and my experience here at Northwood Presbyterian Church. So there might be some times where I'm talking to you guys still and you back there, and where I'm talking to all of you as well. So I've been the director here for 4 years, so since August of 2019. And I have been working in youth ministry since I was as young as 19 years old. And I just turned 29. Just about a week ago. Yeah. So I made the joke that in the last service these kids would call me old, but to you I'm probably young, right? I'm pretty young, right? I'm young. See, you hear that? I'm young. But if my math checks out, that means I've been working in this ministry for 10 years at 29 years old. And that I've spent my entire 20s working in youth ministry. I would say that's not average for someone going through their 20s. But I say that God gave me these 10 years. It's something I'm incredibly grateful for, especially these past 10 years have been something that I could have never imagined for myself, especially at a teenage age. I'll admit, the truth is, though, I never once said when I was in high school or when I was a teenager, I'm going to grow up to be a youth pastor. That's what I'm going to do. That thought never crossed my mind. Though I grew up in church and I went to youth group and I was very involved in my congregation, I never crossed that path of thinking that thought in my head at that time. Truth is, I really didn't know what I wanted to do at that age. I was involved in 4 different clubs and played a couple sports and was in band but loved art, and I did this and I did that, and I had 2 jobs in high school. I had no idea what I wanted to do, though. I couldn't decide. I couldn't think of something. And especially my senior year, when it came down to all that pressure to make that decision, to go off to college, nothing felt right to me. I felt like I was just almost like sinking and drowning in all this pressure that was going on at that time. And I really struggled with picking a major or the right school. I really didn't know what I wanted as a teen at all, honestly. However, I went to church, and that senior year on Sunday, I'm glad I made it in that Sunday. I didn't wake up late or anything. Maybe I did, but I got there before the message, right? And the pastor was preaching Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And the way I heard it that moment at that time was, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And always acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. It's a beautiful scripture. At that time, as a 17-year-old, I needed to hear it. It was comforting, and all of a sudden I felt this, like, this weight off my shoulders, this calmness come through the room, and I felt like everything was going to be okay. Well, you know, obviously it didn't come out exactly that way. I didn't just acknowledge God, and then all of a sudden my path was straight all the way down, right? And here I am now. It wasn't that easy. But I never saw with rose-colored glasses. I've always been pretty realistic, and I knew that if I held on to the scripture and I trusted this scripture and I trusted what God had planned for me and tried to acknowledge him in all ways possible, that something good would come out of it, that God would use me to serve. And so he did. But so I go off to college my freshman year. I actually ended up in culinary school. And a funny thing about me now is here I am 10 years later, I own my own cooking blog and personal chef business outside of this job. It's a full-time job, and I work a lot of hours, and it's something I love, and it's something I've grown into these past few years. But at that, another thing that I had no idea that I would do at this age, I went to culinary school, and it didn't work out, and I thought that was it. Here I am now. However, I came home with not knowing if I was going to go back or not after the summer. And my mother was here in the last service and sitting right where Stephanie is. And I got to tell this story with her right there. And she affirmed it was true. I came home and I told my mom, I said, you know, I don't know what I want to do. I'm not really happy. I don't know. I want to cook, but I don't really see myself in a restaurant. I want to work with all ages. I want to be creative. I want to play sports, be active, travel. I don't want to work in a cubicle. Absolutely not. I don't want to be told what to do 24/7. I want some freedom. I said all these things. I mean, I just went on. I ranted. That's what I would always do. Still do. However, I said all these things, and my mom's sitting there, yes, 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 but then kind of takes a sigh and tells me, like, well, you're going to have to pick something. Like, you're going to have to just go pick something and trust that, you know, God will continue to guide you. But most importantly, get what you need to get done. So do what you need to do. And so that's what I did. I decided to go to school and go to SPC, finish my AA with my leftover credits from high school, and then transfer to USF. And after about 3 or 4 different major changes in 6 years, I graduated with a bachelor's in psychology. And it worked out. It worked out. It's something that I would have never picked that major in high school. Never took a psychology class in high school. I had no idea. But I love psychology now. It's something it's I love it. It's just funny how these things happen. And so I also at that time I started volunteering in the children's ministry at my home church at Peace Memorial, and they had hired a new family ministries director, and she took me under her wing, and I started helping out, and I just started serving. And then that just, I mean, blink of an eye, just turned in from just helping to 10 hours a week, to 15 hours a week, to 20 hours a week, to I got to leave my other job and just do that then. Oh, and then she moved on. She became a pastor, and she moved to somewhere else, and I got to take her job after that. And I became a youth pastor, and I grew a program from 0 to 60 within a year. I mean, I was lucky. I had a really good experience in ministry my first 6 years. It was wonderful. So then I took a break, though, and I went to Cedar Kirk Camp and Conference Center. It's a place where we take the kids all the time, and the church goes for our all-church retreat every year. It's about an hour and a half away from here. I used to be a camp counselor there over the summer. I know someone's going to be a camp counselor there this summer. That was an experience that shaped my faith as a kid and as a young adult doing that summer camp counseling job. So I went there to live there for a year, to just work on site and just figure it out. What was the next move for me? I was turning 23, and I'd finished college, and I was ready for something new. And so I did that, and then I found myself here at Northwood after that, and I became the youth director here. But it's funny, I go back to thinking about that conversation I had with my mother back in 2013, where I told her all the things that I wanted to do, and that I built this whole job description in my head that was a job that didn't really exist, but here I am now in a job that those things exist. That is my job. There's a lot more to that, but I get to do all those things as a youth pastor and have continued to develop that over the years, and it's been a really beautiful thing. But it's just so funny. I just trusted God, held on, and acknowledged it, and it happened. It really did, and I'm forever grateful for that. But so fast forward and back in time a little bit to 2019 when I first started here. you know, I didn't think about today. I didn't think about what today would be like for me, graduation Sunday with this group of seniors. Never thought about it. All I thought was that I needed to figure this job out, get used to it, learn the ropes, do as I was told, go through the holidays, make sure I was, you know, not ruffling any feathers at first, and figure it out. That was the first 6 months of my job. But then, well, bam, 2019 into 2020, COVID happened. So 6 months into the job, COVID. And my job completely changed. It went from seeing kids in person to all of a sudden not seeing them. It took us a while to figure out the virtual things, and I got good at it. It was awkward at first, but I got good at it towards the end. And we scheduled things outside, but that first, like, 3-4 months was just awkward. It was weird. We were doing these church services in here. And at the time, we didn't have the fancy Facebook live stream in the back. We had my phone, and we had a tripod. So I would come in here, and I would film the church services with my phone on the Facebook, and that was it. So here I am, 7 months into the job, and I'm filming this graduation Sunday service in here, but there's no graduates. They're all home. No one was allowed to be here. And I couldn't, nothing felt right at that time. You know, it was, this video was playing of the graduates, and I had them all do recordings saying what they were up to and where they were going, and it was really special, but it just felt off. I couldn't help to think about all the things that they were missing out on. Prom, graduation, all the senior events, all these things that you spend all this time looking forward to, gone. Just like that. I hardly knew the kids. I mean, 7 months in, really. And but I just remember being in this service, and it didn't feel right. And so I see the Jeremiah 29:11 verse. I had it on our senior video. It's on the bulletin. You see it on coffee mugs. You see it on cards in the grocery store for graduation, plastered everywhere. If you Google graduation Bible verse, I guarantee you that is the first thing that shows up. And it's good. It's comforting. It's a beautiful scripture. You know, for surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not to harm, but to give you a future with hope. It's very comforting. But at that moment, it was not. It felt off. It felt weird. What was also plastered everywhere at that time was in these times of uncertainty. Do you remember getting emails from that or letters from businesses being closed? That's the first thing you'd always read. And things were. It was. But I thought about the scripture further and where it came from, and was reminded that, you know, that scripture wasn't written to me. It wasn't written to you in your graduation card. It wasn't written to this congregation. You know, it was written to a group of captive Israelites in enemy territory. It was quite different from what's going on in 2020 as of now as well. This verse gave hope to a group of people that surely didn't understand what God was doing at the time. In a more serious matter. So, as I said, the scripture wasn't written to us. It wasn't written to me. It wasn't written to you. However, it was written for us. So underneath the promising, for I have plans for you, plans for a future, plans with hope, underneath that, what Jeremiah was saying is what he was really promising through God was that you will have struggles and that things will be uncertain. There will be seasons in your life where you feel like you can't handle the load that you're bearing, times you feel undeserving of love, times you feel like you have no way out. However, God's grace will exceed. His promise is that he will be here with you every step of the way, and he will help you through it, and that he does have a plan for you. So at that time, I had no idea what the next 4 years would look like for me, how God would use me and how God would open my heart through this time. And so here we are now, 4 years later, graduation Sunday. It's something that I haven't experienced before, so I've never had a group that's gone from freshman year to senior year in youth ministry. I'm only 29 years old, haven't 10 years, but still, haven't had a 4 years together in a group. It's an experience that I didn't really think about until this past year, honestly. You know, and I say that I knew a glimpse of God before I met this group of kids. They bring so much joy and light to my life, and you know, as well as a test of patience, but for the most part, I'm so grateful for this group that I have here. And this group is very special to me. So I really didn't know what it would mean to me to be in the position where I got to be with these kids from their freshman year to their senior year. Okay, what's that mean? All right. In this window of time, I had the opportunity to witness them go from being these kids to now, like, young adults, basically, which is really cool. So they go from, you know, having interest, something they're, like, a hobby, something they're interested in, to all of a sudden developing a passion for something through these 4 years, and then all of a sudden developing a skill in that thing, or some things work out and some things don't. But I got to be a part of all of this and now see where they're taking their future with these spiritual gifts that they've been given, that they've dedicated themselves to work on. It's been a very special time. And it was actually something that I hadn't realized until this past year when we were on a trip. It was like midnight and we were waiting in line for a roller coaster at Rock the Universe. And I was starting to regret the job that I had signed up for. Starting to get tired. But we started talking about life. We started talking about everything that's going on in our lives. It ended up being this amazing conversation I had in line waiting, because that's all you can do. They lock your phones away at the roller coaster, so no phones, just talking to each other. And, all right, don't see that nowadays. And so I realized that. I was like, wow, this is so cool. I've been able to be with this kid for 4 years, to watch him grow from like this to this. Like, quite literally, these kids are huge. They're taller than me. it's awesome. So I've got these seniors, and, you know, all of you have all these amazing accomplishments I've been reading about, and I've been involved in some of them, but everything that you've done, and it's wonderful. If you read it through at the insert in the bulletin or when we go out into the reception, there is so many wonderful things these kids have accomplished. But I wanted to share what we've accomplished as a group in this youth group. So from summers and holidays to Cedar Creek retreats, mission work, Montreat, special events, and our normal programming, I've spent a lot of time with these kids. Some of them I see 2 to 3 times a week, maybe even more. Some I saw more their first couple years of high school, and then they got busy, and life goes on, and then they come back in, or maybe they haven't. Some got welcomed in this past year and met them for the first time a week before we go on a trip, and they signed up. They spent a whole week with us. And they stayed. That was awesome. Were some that I even haven't gotten a chance to meet yet. However, countless memories I've made with these kids that I will forever cherish. You know, it's been a blessing to have seen them grow as they've come in and out of these doors. It's been something that I'll joke about this and tell my kids about this one day. But one of my favorite things in the past 4 years has been this kind of evolution of how they walk through the door in the youth room. So if you've ever been to the youth room, I'll paint a picture for you. It's in the back by the gym, and there's 2 doors. So one out to the grass parking lot, one near the gym. Now they're all older, so they all drive, so they usually come from the back. And one of my favorite things about this is when they come in, some of them will come in. The way they've come in has changed over the years, and some things stay the same. I called this one out in the last service, because he'll go straight to grab a bag of chips. He did add that it's also a drink from the refrigerator, and then he will just plop on the couch and take a huge sigh. Feet hanging off and everything. I mean, this kid feels super comfortable, but he's always done that. This is not something that just started. Like, since I met him, he's been doing this. He feels very comfortable at this church. I would say that's a good thing. Then we have Eli walks in, and he usually grabs the guitar on the right and then sits down on the couch on the right and just starts talking to me while lightly playing some chords. And then his twin brother, Isaac, and these twins are special to me because we share the same birthday, and I'm a twin as well. And so Isaac will walk in, and he's like the too cool for school kid, and he'll walk in and do like a head nod and be like, "What's up?" I'm like, "Thanks." Hey. And then we have Caleb. Caleb walks in, my sweet Caleb, and he always goes straight for the hug. He is an absolute sweetheart. And so they all have something about them, something special when they walk through these doors. There's been different times where they've walked in a rush and chaos and covered in mud or water or whatever. I don't know. Just reckless, careless sometimes from whatever they brought in with them. But that's the key thing there is they brought whatever was outside, they brought it in. And that's something that I'm very proud of with our group, that we've created a place where nothing's being left at the door. No judgment, really. You know, some of them will come in and they'll be so excited to tell me something. Like, they can't even get it out at first. Like, they got the job, they made the team, got the girl. whatever it was. They've been so excited. And then there's been other times where it hasn't really worked out that way, and they've walked in face down, no eye contact, and I could tell something was wrong. And there's times where, you know, they're waiting on me, and I'm running late, and all my chaos, and I'm coming in maybe for my second job or whatever, and telling them about everything. Whatever it is, there's no judgment on either end. So what we've grown here these past 4 years is a family. It's not perfect. We've had our moments, but for the most part, we are family. We have memories we'll cherish forever, and most importantly, though, God has been here every single step of the way. So I know the day is approaching that they will no longer be walking through those doors here, and that they will be walking through new doors. I've prepared myself for this, and I understand how the parents feel, too. I mean, I couldn't imagine, but I feel a little bit of it. But they have new doors to walk through and new environments to put themselves in and new groups to be a part of and new relationships to make. And so I hope that they will take these moments, that you'll take the moments that you had when you were in high school and college, and that you'll hold on to them, but you'll also give them to others so that you'll create spaces and places for people to thrive in and seek God endlessly and seek his voice and accept his grace, because we all know we need it, right? So what my call to them in the last service was, and my call to you now, and my call to all of us, is that as we walk into new doors, new chapters in our life, my prayer is in the scriptures. It's to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, to acknowledge him in all ways as he directs your path. For God has plans for you, plans not for harm, but plans to give you a future with hope. But you need to hold fast the confession of this hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. So consider to provoke one another with love and do good work, not neglecting to meet together, encouraging one another, and all the more. God's plan and grace will forever exceed what you could ever imagine, and you will learn to trust him. Amen.